epistle taken from this fourth Sunday in Advent is of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here is it required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self, for I have nothing on my conscience, yet I am not thereby justified, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore pass no judgment before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and make manifest the counsels of hearts. And then everyone will have his praise from God. Thanks be to God. Please let us stand for the Holy Gospel, which is appointed from the Apostle St. Luke. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea, and Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip, his brother, tetrarch of the district of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind shall see the salvation of God." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Praise be to you, thee, O Christ. Please be seated. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sin. Before our blessed Lord came into public notice, following the prophetic words of Isaiah, came his missionary called St. John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness. He was the one who cried out in a loud, thrilling voice, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So the church then, on this last Sunday of Advent, the first before Christmas, cries out to those who expect to meet our Lord in Christmas and worship him on that glorious feast. He is the last prophet, where the Old Testament meets the New. As he, St. John the Baptist, then brings to fulfillment the words of the prophet Isaiah, the chant of the liturgy, in the verses, in the responsorial psalms, are impregnated with this message of hope and salvation, and sees the fulfillments of the prophecies of the Old Testament in the New. Finally, the Savior, the Messiah, will come. "Drop down, do ye heavens from above, and let the clouds rain the just one," from the first prayer of the Mass. "To whom all the nations shall pray, come and redeem us, deliver us, tarry now no more." This is then the spirit of the words of Scripture and the Church before Christmas, led by the example of St. John, whose mission is to announce and to fulfill these words. The voice of the austere precursor resounds through the wilderness, preaches penance and conversion and the obligation that men are under of preparing by self-purification for the coming of Christ by humility and divine hope. The way of the Lord is the one that he's preaching about, not his own way. And it is a common feeling for each one of us. I'm sure that when Christmas comes round, we feel as we have not the courage to present ourselves in front of the crib. From the words of today's Gospel, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord." We are so creature-loving, materialistic, as opposed to the one who was living in the solitude of the desert, clothed in camel's hair with a leather girdle about his loins, and whose food consisted of locust and wild honey. We are so full of injured pride, in contrast to the words of the Baptist, the one coming who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose. Also, the precursor shames with its faith. There is the one who followed and publicly proclaimed the faith about our Lord's teaching about holiness and indissolubility of marriage, and challenged Herod's adulterous relationship. It is wrong to take thy brother's wife. Meantime, our faith, we are so full of hesitations and evasions. The mission, his mission, was not to preach about himself. His life, as Bishop Fulton Sheen points out, was to his unchanging work and mission, namely to announce the Lamb of God. We look for him and no other. We look for Jesus. Hence, the divine hope that we hear during Advent is for what St. John the Baptist referred in these Gospels on all of these Sundays throughout Advent. The message, the divine hope, is for the blind, the lame, and the poor. The message for repentance is the same for all of us. Are you the one to come, or do we wait for another? He was wondering. But we know that he is the one who has to come, and we look for no other. We were blind, the Lord has enlightened us. We were lame, and he has made us walk. The leprosy of sin disfigures us, but he has cleansed us. We were poor and none to care for us, but he has come with every aid and consolation. Hence, that divine hope that the precursor preaches about is for the lame, who are not confident that they can attain their salvation by their own strength, who are happy to suffer in reparation for their sins and for the salvation of souls. The poor, who do not find security and a solution to his worries in this life or just in natural causes. For such as these is the kingdom of heaven. They who have every opportunity to grow strong in hope, who glory in their infirmity, that the power of the Holy Ghost may rest upon them. This is then the wisdom of the little way to heaven. The only way, as our Lord says, unless you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You are familiar, probably, with the little ways, following the spirituality of St. John the Baptist, the little ways that St. Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, wrote in her book, The Story of a Soul. She describes this as thus: I know well that it is not my great desires that please God in my little soul. What he likes to see is the way I love my littleness and my poverty. It is my blind hope in his mercy. This is my only treasure. The weaker one is, without desires or virtues, the more ready one is for the operations of this consuming and transforming love. God rejoices more in what he can do in a soul humbly resigned to its poverty than in the creation of millions of suns and the vast stretch of the heavens. And she adds, these are those who will glory in the last day, who will not hide their head at the coming of the just judge, as they have attained mercy because they confessed their sinfulness and misery. That we may avoid the just judge on that terrifying last day, we're beginning then a new year, ever more dedicated to hoping in his mercy. Let us then begin the year like that. Let us remember that when we are weak, then we are strong. Let us listen to the teachings of the Church with humility, acknowledging our blindness, and confess our sins with frequency, as those lame, rather than make excuses for them or tempt God by pulling off the cleansing of our souls. Let us be resigned to suffer with Christ, as those poor, for in our sufferings, anxieties, and doubts, and fears, we have the best opportunity to despair of ourselves, to see the nothingness of this earth, and to rely wholly in the help of God. As the same saint said, Saint Therese, whom Saint Pius the Tenth, Saint Pius the Twelfth called Saint Therese of Lisieux, the greatest saint of modern times. She says, "I tell you that it is enough to recognize one's nothingness and to abandon oneself like a child in the arms of God. We can never have enough confidence in God," she says, "who is so good, so powerful, so merciful." And at the end of her life, when asked if she was humble, she said that all she ever sought was the truth, that she always knew that she was nothing, and thus I know what it means to count on His mercy. So if we prepare the way of the Lord, as we shall finally see the salvation of God in eternity, if we learn to stay little, as Saint Therese did, in her own words, gathering flowers of love and sacrifice and offering them to the good Lord to please Him, then therefore we shall rejoice evermore in the thought that in all our preparation, by keeping the commandments, suffering and toiling, we finally will be rewarded with the vision of the Redeemer of all nations. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.